Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you are with us for this Monday edition of Basic Gospel. The phone lines are open, as always, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. For Bible questions or personal issues or circumstances, give us a call now. 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Throughout our history as a ministry, one of the things that we've been known for is helping people really come to grips with who they are in Christ. Yeah. You know, identity is a huge issue for every single human being that's ever graced the planet. Every person wants to know exactly who they are. Yeah. And so there's a big quest to find that identity. People are searching high and low. Do they base their identity on the opinions of others, what others are thinking about them? Do they find an identity through their business, through their work, through the things that they do? Do they find an identity through their affiliations, associations, those sort of things? Do you find an identity through your favorite sports team or whatever it might be? But what you see with every single human being is this quest to find out that big the answer to that big question, who am I?
Right.
Well, that's where the Word of God speaks, and speaks very clearly, speaks very loudly about our identity. We were once sinners. Now, that's not a good identity, but it's a true identity. Yeah. It was truthful. It described who we were apart from Jesus Christ. And that's the identity that many of us were trying to shake. We knew something was wrong with us on the inside. If I could just find a better label to attach to my lapel, then I will feel better about myself, and then I can go on and live a pretty good life. So we're looking for that label to mask that underlying restlessness we have inside, that underlying just a thing that gnaws at us, knowing that something's wrong. Well, it really reflects our true identity apart from Christ. Sinners by nature, children of wrath. But when we come to Jesus Christ, when that gospel touches these hearts of ours, this good news concerning Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we respond through faith and we're changed. We go from sinner to saint. We go from a child of wrath to a child of God. Talk about a transformation.
Really?
That is a transformation. Now, this new identity, child of God, isn't merely a label that we attach to our coat lapels. No, it is really a descriptive word of what's truly happened inside of us. We have been born again into the family of God, adopted as God's children. So new birth, adoption, both of those are descriptive of who we now are. So we were once children of wrath, now we are children of God. That is who we are. And John really nails it in his letter. He says this: "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." So this change of identity has been brought about by the very love of God. So that is who we are. That's our identity. That is it. Now, as a believer, embrace that. Don't just look at that and gloss over it and think, oh, no big deal. Hold on. That is a huge deal. Yeah. Why? Because this identity is not tied to the opinions of others. It's not tied to what you do or don't do. It's not tied to any of those things that are out there in the world. It is tied to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, something that is unchanging, something that is immovable, which means your identity is unchanging, which means your identity is immovable. So cling to it, embrace it, proudly announce to the world, I am a child of God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now the world Is it going to recognize you for who you really are? Right. But one day they will. And that's exactly what John says here. He says, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world rejected Jesus. The world is going to reject us. The world isn't going to recognize us for the children of God that we are. But he says, beloved, we are God's children now.
Yeah.
Right this very moment, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him.
Right.
Talk about hope. Talk about excitement. Talk about looking forward to that day when he appears, so that we are going to know exactly who we are. Mm-hmm. We're going to see ourselves for exactly who we are right now, because we will see him as he is. Now, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. So understanding your identity in Christ, knowing that you're a child of God, is an anchor for your soul and shapes how you handle your life here and now. As Paul wrote in Titus, the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God teaches us to renounce ungodliness and worldly temptations, and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation as we wait for the blessed appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. These two passages go hand in glove. What is your hope? That one day Jesus Christ is going to come back. The world is going to see us for who we are. We're going to see us for who we are, because we will be like him.
Yes.
Good news, folks. That's good news. So let me ask you, who are you? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God? If not, will you let today be the day when God transfers you out of darkness and places you into light? When God changes the very nature of who you are, sinner, into child of the living God.
Yes. Bob, wonderful thoughts, and that we can take advantage of his promise. How else could it get any better than that? Friends, glad you're with us. We hope that you're having a wonderful and joy-filled Christmas, New Year's holiday season this year. Probably better than last year, because we were still in the throes of COVID. But a year's passed, and I hope that everything is looking a lot brighter for you this Christmas holiday season. You know, Christmas time is a time of giving, and the testimonies we receive, the evidence of changed lives, well, that just underscores the reason we share God's love and grace in Jesus Christ every day, and why your support continues to be vital. You know, hearing that someone's life has been changed in an eternal way is one of the great joys of giving. So in this Christmas season, we hope you'll share in the grace of giving, so that others might hear, believe, and live in this great news of the saving grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, because of our matching gift grant, you can make your gift count double when you donate at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll help us move toward that. It's $90,000 if we match that, $180,000 for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Want to be a part of that? Go to basicgospel.net, and you certainly can be.
Multiplied impact. That's all about. I love that word, multiply. And we get a chance to give and see it multiplied through this matching grant.
Absolutely. Again, you can make your contribution right now at basicgospel.net. Well, that phone number, friends, we want to hear from you, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. A line is available to you right now. Well, Bob, we had this question from Jess in Grand Prairie. He says, Isaiah 59:2 was given to me as proof that God does not hear the prayers of unbelievers. It says, but your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Is this true under the new covenant today, since according to Romans 5:10, while we were yet enemies with God, we have been reconciled to him through the death of his son? That's from Jess in Grand Prairie.
Well, certainly we know that God hears our prayers. God is all-knowing. God is all-seeing. God is all-powerful. God is all-omniscient. Those are just the characteristics of God. So will he respond to those prayers? Well, any prayer that is prayed according to his will, he's going to hear. And when it says he's going to hear it, it means that he is going to do something about it. It's not just simply hearing with his ears. I heard the words. No, he hears with the intention of doing something about it, yeah, answering that particular prayer. Now, somebody who is praying through the flesh, praying according to the flesh, God, I want you to rubber stamp my sinful, immoral lifestyle. I want you to be okay with that. Well, God hears those words, but he has no intention to respond or to answer to it. Why? Because it's not a prayer in accordance with his will for you as an individual. We see a lot of people praying according to the flesh. So somebody who is dead, who is lost in sin, and they're praying through that filter. So sin is directing their prayers toward God. God isn't going to respond to that.
Right.
Why? Because God has dealt with sin once and for all. Sin's consequence is death. He's dealt with that through the resurrection. So he wants us to pray according to his will and to pray, you know, earnestly, and he hears that with the intention of answering. So back in Isaiah, when he was saying, your sins have separated you from me, that's what he was saying. You've bowed your knee to foreign gods, and now you want me to bless that type of life, lifestyle, and I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because that's not to your benefit. It's not to what I desire for you in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jez, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for writing. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to contact us again. Give us a line. Give us a phone call at 844-322-2742. Actually, it's you that has the line. We would love for you to fill it up right now, 844-322-2742. And Bob from Moline, Illinois, this is from Ron. He says, I struggle with my verbal witness at work. Even when opportunities come, I seem to blow it. I don't say anything when I should. When Jesus said, and we quote, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father, close quote, does that apply to me? How does what Jesus said apply to grace in my life as a believer?
Well, that's a great question. And Ron, what you're doing there is setting a standard, and you're not meeting your own standard. So if I'm a real Christian, I should be bold in my witness for Jesus Christ. I should not avoid any confrontation. I should just lay it out there. And you see these various opportunities come your way, and you don't stand up with boldness. You kind of shrink back from that. And at the end of the day, you're feeling just lower than a snake's belly because you have failed. You have failed yourself. You have failed God. You have failed that person. So you just see yourself as a failure. So what I want you to do is just get rid of the standard. Get rid of that ideal that you think you should be. Here's the reason, because you will never be that ideal. We used to have a cartoon illustration, and we called it the Phantom Christian.
Yeah.
And here's what every Christian should be doing. You know, you should have the witnessing track in your pocket, and you should be praying without ceasing, and you should always be giving that answer for the hope that lies within you. You're giving 10%, you're in church, you're on the mission field. I mean, it's just an impossible standard for us to live up to. So you've created this phantom Christian. You're trying to live up to that model, and you're just failing almost every single day. So get rid of the phantom Christian. Just go ahead and put that guy out to pasture.
Yeah.
And just be yourself, and just engage in conversations in a gentle and easy way. And if opportunities come, just and you say something, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing that we need to realize, that when we come to Christ and Christ comes to live inside of us, we become witnesses. We don't have to do a single thing. We're just simply witnesses. Why? Because we have the life of Christ living in us. So we, our life, our new life in Christ is a witness to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if God has already labeled you a witness, then just simply be yourself. Be that child of God. And if opportunities present themselves, jump in and leave the results of that to God. But he already sees you as perfect. He already sees you as holy and blameless. You've already been delivered to that goal that God wanted to deliver you to. So rest in that. And I think you'll see these conversations in a completely different light.
Absolutely. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to come into the studio right now at 844-322-2742 and pose your question or your particular issue. We'll be glad to address it with you and talk it over with you here at Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, from the state of Virginia, this is a question from Isha. She said, I believe if we ask God questions about a situation, God will always answer in some form. If something immediately comes to mind after I ask a question, I usually take it as God's answer. However, now I am doubting that. Are the answers simply coming from my mind, and I'm just assuming that it is from God? Recently, what I thought was an answer troubled someone, and I know God wouldn't want me to trouble anyone. So how do I learn to recognize and receive answers from God?
Well, that's a great, great question, Isha, and thank you for posing it. We do want to know, you know, how prayer works, and that's basically what this question is all about. How does prayer work? Are we supposed to pray in a certain way, at a certain time, in a certain posture? Is that what prayer is all about? Is it simply asking God for something and then waiting to hear an answer? And if it's waiting to hear an answer from him, how do we hear it? How do we discern that it's come from God? And I think this is where we need to tie prayer back to the Word of God. So it's this conversation that we're having, and that's what prayer is. It's simply a conversation that you are having with your Heavenly Father as a result of the work of Christ on your behalf. He's granted you access to the Father. You've drawn near to Him through the blood of Jesus. He has come to live inside of you through His Spirit, so there is a closeness there. He's with you 24/7. 365. So that's all the reality that you have as a child of God. So you can just go about your day in conversation with the Lord. Now, usually the way He answers is through His Word back to you. Now, sometimes that could be an impression that you get. The Holy Spirit may be impressing you with something. Or it's going to be something that you read out of the Word of God. Yeah. So those are going to be the sources of God's Word into your mind, into your life, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So you know that some things that you may think are an answer, if you really kind of dissect it a little bit, you look at it, you think, no, that can't be from God. That's just kind of something that I made up. So I think it's easy enough to discern. So I think if you're struggling with answers to God, to your prayers, God's answers to your prayers, I think you need to get back into the Word of God and seek answers there. Elijah prayed that it would stop raining because of Israel's refusal to not bow the knee to foreign gods. And why did he pray that? Well, because God had already said that if you bow your knee to foreign gods, then I'm going to dry up the rain for this amount of time. So Elijah was simply praying back to God what God had already said.
Right.
And when it stopped raining, Elijah said, wow, That's an answer to prayer. Well, no, it was simply God doing what he said he was already going to do. Mm-hmm. And Elijah just got involved in that, yeah, because he understood what God had already said in the Word, and he simply prayed it back to God. So we want to get into the Word so that the Word can shape our prayers. And when we offer those prayers to God, then I think we get back into the Word and see how God answers.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from Isha. And Bob, we had this question from Susie. She says, in a devotional, you laid out the four promises of the new covenant. Could you explain number one and number three to make them more clear? Number one being, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And number three being, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest.
Okay, both great questions. So the first provision of the new covenant is, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And this is really in contrast to the old covenant. He wrote his laws on tablets of stone, and he wrote it with his very finger. This is God, but it was external.
Right.
So now God is writing his laws in our minds and in our hearts by the very Spirit of God. So the tablets are no longer tablets of stone. They are the tablets of our human hearts. So we see this new covenant is an internal reality, not just an external standard to try to live up to. It is an internal reality. Now, what are his laws? Well, certainly they're not the Ten Commandments. We don't need those written on our hearts or in our minds. We already know those. That's intuitive to us. That's a part of our conscience. What he writes in our minds and in our hearts are the three characteristics that mark the Christian life, and that is faith, hope, and love. So as lost people, we were unbelievers. Our hearts were unbelieving. Now, as believers in Christ, we have believing hearts. That's what's been written on our hearts, faith. That's anchored in hope. That hope is now within us, as Peter said, have an answer for the hope that lies within you. So that hope is there, and then love has been poured out in our hearts as well. We see that in Romans chapter 5, where Paul says, the Holy Spirit does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in your heart. Mm-hmm. So that's right. What this first one is. It's about the internal reality of Christ living his life through us. The third, no longer will a man teach his neighbor, but we'll all know the Lord. This is all about relationship. Back in the old, they had a knowledge of God, but they didn't have a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. And this third tells us that we now have a personal relationship, a heartfelt experience, a heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Great questions on today's edition of Basic Gospel, and great answers, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, if you have questions, you can drop an email to us at bob@basicgospel.net. We'll try to get to it this week on the Basic Gospel program. You can also call and leave your voicemail at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742, and we will do our best to get a good answer for you. And if Bob Christopher is here, I know that will happen. So give us a call at 844-322-2742. Well, friends, let's keep it moving. Let's move forward to fully take advantage of our $90,000 matching gift grant. What an incredible opportunity this is to see the message of grace in Jesus Christ expand and move forward like never before. Since this is a matching gift opportunity, any amount you give will be doubled. Double the impact. So please make your gift today at basicgospel.net. And as you do, be sure to download your MP3 audio series by Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley from the recent United Conference. I know you're going to be blessed by the messages and by the plans for expansion of the ministry as we move forward. Again, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net and help us take advantage of that $90,000 matching gift offer. Well, now for Bob Christopher and everyone here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis saying thank you for being with us today and inviting you back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.